Mike Sherman is the guy that recruited him to Texas A&M and never did coach him in college, but now is the coach in Montreal, and Johnny Manziel is there, and the man who traded him there is on the phone with us, Eric Tillman, the general manager of the Ticats, with us. Nice to chat with you again, Eric. How are you?
Brad, how have you been?
Yeah, been good. A long time. I was thinking of that.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice again.
Well, nice to have you on. And you know, the word, the anatomy of a trade is always where we go. So before we get into anything else, tell us how it all went down. I believe that as we speak, Kavis Reed is explaining it from his side on the news conference. But how did it all go down for you guys in the Alouettes?
Well, it's been a long process. Actually, the first call was like 17, 18 months ago, last spring, in March of 17. And we had multiple conversations over the last several months. In fact, even quietly, we let Montreal work, gave Montreal permission to work Johnny out. And Dallas, I think it was last September or August, they certainly were interested in doing a deal after that. We wanted to keep Johnny's rights, which we did. And then over the last few weeks, with just Jeremiah playing at such a high level, piggybacking off what he did last year over the last 10 games, we felt like if we got the right offer, if it was one that was substantial, that would help us both short-term and long-term, that, you know, that we would go on and make that move. And Montreal came forward with a very, very aggressive offer, and it came together over a 72 to 96-hour period.
Eric, how would you evaluate Johnny Manziel in Hamilton? We obviously didn't see him on the field during a game, but you saw him close up in terms of his practice habits, how he would have been in the community, how he would have been with his teammates. What insight can you give us in terms of how Manziel was for you?
Yeah, he was great from day one. I think he came in. It was interesting, Richard. I listened to your comments off the top, and we can talk about those if you want to in terms of the National Football League. But, you know, when we first met Johnny last September, he was a little withdrawn. He'd been through a lot. You know, I mean, he's been poked and prodded. He's made a lot of mistakes and many, many self-inflicted. I think it's well documented the substance problems that he's had, certainly the mental health issues that he's had. And understandably, as a result of all of that, the public failures, the self-inflicted wounds, that he was very guarded. In the spring, I went down and spent a week in Texas with Johnny. He was around his family, got to know his mom, his sister, the grandparents. And he already had a relationship with June, because June, when he was the head coach at SMU, was the first guy to offer him a scholarship. Long and short story, I think when he came in, he found it to be refreshingly different. He found the guys very down to earth. He wasn't treated like a megastar. He was just Johnny. Just like Johnny when he was in high school in Kerrville, Texas. And he told me quickly, he just said, I remember one day I said, how do you like it? He said, I love it. I love it. It's better than I could have ever imagined. And I just think he enjoyed just, you know, kind of starting fresh again. You know, there was no ego. He was very humble. He gained a quick appreciation for the game. And he did everything we could ask. He just, unfortunately for him, he was in a situation where Jeremiah was our starter and continued to play at a high level. And, you know, ultimately Johnny came up here to play. And they put no pressure on us. But with the package we got, we felt it was best for the team. And quite frankly, we felt it was best for him to give him a chance to play and reestablish himself.
You mentioned Jeremiah's play start the year has been so strong, and obviously a carryover from last year. But do you think that the presence of Johnny Manziel, a backup with that kind of pedigree and attention, spurred Masoli on to be as good as he's continued to be this year?
Well, you know, it's funny, Brad. It's you know, Jeremiah last year in the last 10 games, we made the quarterback change, and over the last 10 games, he threw for 3,000 yards, which is remarkable. And yet people just said, well, you know, we'll see if he can sustain it. And then he came back this year and 300 yards plus in four of our first five games. Look, you know, sure, he's a competitor. And I think that, you know, it's got to be frustrating when you get your opportunity to sign a new contract. You become the guy, and then suddenly Johnny Manziel signs, and the first day of training camp, you've got Sports Illustrated, ESPN, USA Today, everybody here to interview him and do stories on him. I think the competitive fire inside was probably pretty strong. But more than that, I'd like to say that Jeremiah was just a consummate teammate. Unbelievable. You know, you look at Baltimore last year with Joe Flacco, and when the Ravens drafted, you know, Lamar Jackson, and he wouldn't talk to the media the next day. Well, let's look at Jeremiah on a comparative basis. I mean, sitting with Johnny in the cafeteria, sitting with him in meetings, spending extra time with him on a knee on the practice field when the third and fourth guy are getting reps, talking about things, the nuances of our game, the ways that things are different, helping him learn coverages, concepts, the motion. Jeremiah was just absolutely gold. So, you know, I think it was a balance. I think it fueled the fire, but it also spoke to the character of Jeremiah. And very, very few people could have handled this with the dignity with which he did.
All right, extra. Let's get into it, actually. I'll sort of offer my skepticism here, and I'd be curious, given that you've gotten a chance to know Manziel, and you know, given that you're a football general manager and you're going to look at things differently than me. We're talking about a guy, as you said, a lot of self-inflicted issues an abuse of alcohol or other substances to domestic violence accusations to, and this is when we get to the football part, to a guy who has not thrown a National Football League pass now in a number of years and has yet to throw a meaningful Canadian Football League pass. So if I'm an NFL general manager, how far does this guy have to go at this point to get on my radar where I would give him a legitimate shot to make my roster either as a backup or a starter?
Well, Richard, before I answer that, let me just give a little background to some of your listeners that the vast majority probably won't know this. I worked in the NFL office in New York for 2 years. I've worked for a member club in the National Football League, and I ran the Senior Bowl All-Star Game in Mobile, Alabama, which is the preeminent All-Star Game and the only one coached by NFL staff. So that's also a nice way of saying I'm old. but I've also know a lot of people in the National Football League, have strong relationships with people at the head coaching level and general manager's level. There are a lot of guys that I stay in regular contact with, a lot of guys who are down in Texas. I would say to you that the question on Johnny has never been athleticism. That's my assessment. More importantly, that's June Jones, who's been a two-time our head coach, who's been previously the head coach of the Chargers and the Falcons. It's a conversation I had with Bill Polian at the Senior Bowl. It's a conversation what I had with a number of other NFL guys in Texas, and you know, even at the Senior Bowl this year with a lot of NFL people that thought that Johnny was going to come. Their concern has never been talent. It's been off the field things. And Cleveland, and I don't want to be I had friends that were on that staff, but Johnny's skill set is very different. And they went in, it was a very conservative offense. They utilized a tight end. They put him under the center. He had never been under the center. He was a shotgun guy in college. He was a shotgun guy in high school. You know, I would suggest to you, though, that I see it very differently than you. I think Johnny, if he handles himself off the field, I don't think there's any question he could play in the National Football League. I see many similarities to Baker Mayfield, athletically, personality-wise, skill set-wise. And I would suggest to you that the Jets will use him in a way that will play to his strengths as opposed to a cookie-cutter model. Then you look at Russell Wilson and Seattle. In fact, that was one of the places we were watching before we got Johnny. After Boykin had the problem off the field, we thought, oh my gosh, they might give Johnny a shot because he's perfect for the way Pete utilizes, you know, Russell Wilson. You know, to me, Johnny's 25 years old. He has great athleticism. He's got an arm to make every throw on our field, which is 12 yards wider. He certainly can make all the throws there, the tight windows there, all the things. Athletically, he can play there. And, you know, the nonsense, and I say that not directed at you, but about the lack of hype, go stand next to Drew Brees. Go stand next to Russell Wilson. Johnny's taller than either of those guys. I think it's just a matter of how you utilize a guy. Johnny went to a franchise that was struggling in a very conservative offense. It's the first time he had been away from Texas, away from home. I think the wheel of the car got away from him. There were some things going on in his personal life that are well documented, self-inflicted, some of them. I think certainly the challenges he's had, you know, with bipolar, certainly it's something that's been diagnosed now. But he's young enough to me that if he goes to Montreal and plays at a high level, I don't think there's any question there'll be other opportunities for him in the National Football League.
Eric, I appreciate that answer, and I certainly respect your background. One more from me on this. And I think I know where your answer
is. Richard, and if it doesn't happen, you can bust my chops. You know, none of us have cornered the market on wisdom. I just think that he has such a – one other thing I want to mention.
Sure.
The guy has rare vision. You know, I'm sitting here promoting a guy that we just traded, so your listeners are probably thinking this is the dumbest guy to ever come out of Mississippi. But, you know, we know what he's been through, okay? We know how far he fell. To see him smile again, to see him laugh again, to see him come back. I think the Canadian Football League has been wonderful for him, and it has a chance to be a wonderful story of redemption. He has to continue to make good decisions on a day-to-day basis. I hope he does that. I think it's a really good acquisition for Montreal, and we're excited. You know, I mean, Johnny, we made the move. We're excited about the guys we got. We got 2 number one draft picks and 2 all-stars, so hopefully it's a win-win.
Do you, Eric, how do you feel about a guy, and this is sort of more of a general question, not just a Manziel question, although the specifics go to Manziel, but if things even worked out as great as Manziel wants, he would be out of the league. He would be out of the NFL for 4 seasons minimum. Let me ask it this way. How big a gap would that be, especially at the quarterback position, not to have been in an NFL training camp or in an NFL facility for 4 years?
I don't think it's a problem at all. I mean, I think it's a really good question, but I think you're much better off playing in this league. At the end of the day, it's about playing. There's no substitute for playing. I think if you had, much more importantly than me, if you had guys that are way more qualified to discuss this, you had Doug Flutie, you had Jeff Garcia, you had Trent Green. I mean, I'm old enough that Trent Green was on with us in BC back in the early 90s, you know, and went down and had a great career. If you talk to any of those guys, they would tell you getting on the field, playing the game is the way you develop. And there's so many guys in the National Football League that have CFL backgrounds, and people forget about that, people that respect our game. And, you know, Johnny needed to play. He's much better off starting in Montreal than he is for his growth and development than holding a clipboard and being the number 3 guy at the Dallas Cowboys. You know, it's just there's nothing like playing the game, having to make decisions and, you know, getting an opportunity to utilize your athleticism. It's I think he feels really good. And once he got here, you know, he found out our game is way, you know, he said to me, look, these guys are way better than I thought. And, you know, I've heard that multiple times from guys in the National Football League. If you get guys like James Wilder on from the Argos, other guys that have played in the NFL, they'll tell you the same thing. It's there's some really good athletes in our league.
Eric, we appreciate it. And next year, you talked about feeling old, or you said it means we're getting old. Next year's the 25th anniversary of my favorite CFL moment, the Lions defending the honor of the country and winning the 94 Grey Cup. So we'll be talking to you about that at some point, I'm sure.
One of the great, great moments for this country when we beat Baltimore. Wasn't that something?
That was awesome. Appreciate your time and breaking down the deal for us. Congratulations. You got a good one. And here's hoping good stuff for Johnny Manziel as well. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
You bet. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you guys.